Ryan Rashaga joins us. Shager, how are you?
Doing fantastic, buddy. Glad to be home after, a bit of an odyssey.
8 days at Disney World, correct?
Disney World in Orlando, Florida, yes. Did all the parks. Eight straight days of nothing but Disneyland magic.
Oof. I will say we had a lot of magic with your guests on the show filling in. Parker,
oh, yeah.
Parker filled in with some really good Rashaag stories.
Parker did the show on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. Brian Mudrick, Jay Onright, Ferraro, Duthie, yeah, they all filled in.
Holy, that's like an all-star lineup, man. There's no way people are going to just settle for just me every day now.
Oh, no, they enjoyed hearing the stories of Rashaag, so it was it was definitely worth it. It was very much worth it. So
did Ray tell you about the time he walked into the arena and looked at me and said, "Yeah, it's getting away from you a little, hey bud."
Oh yeah, he said you were rattled. He goes,
"Did he actually tell that story?"
He told that story and said, "Yeah, the next time I saw Rashaag, he was out doing cardio the next day."
Yeah, it was one of those things though. Like there's probably 7 or 8 people on the planet who could, without pissing me off, tell me that my weight was getting away from me a little bit, right? Like my brothers, some of my best friends, you're not one of them, Gregor, maybe Drags, like close buddies, right? And Ferraro happens to be one of them. And he just, the look he gave me and the way he said it was just like, yeah, it's getting away from you a little, hey, bud.
Just shamed you into it, eh? The next day, the best part was how he said, oh, the next day, Rashaag's doing cardio.
Oh, yeah. And I dropped probably 15 pounds in about 2.5 months. And, that's classic Ferraro, though.
Oh, it was good, because I do remember that time, because I thought maybe you just had been outside and got stung by a bee, but clearly I was wrong. So
I was pulling suits out of the other side of my closet. There are two sides of my closet, and I was pulling suits out of the far side, and
okay.
I needed to get back to the left side.
Nice. The Edmonton Oilers, man, they're tied for last place again, Rashaag. And, you know, by the way, you know, the day you left was the day McDavid got hurt. So maybe we should blame you, because his number one stalker was gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, I don't know that I'm his number one stalker.
No, that's not true. That's true.
I think we all know who's got that one locked up. No, I mean, it was tough luck, and things have been going really well for him. I think he was really settling in, and we had yet to see the pace that he was able to put up. So what an unfortunate play. And I certainly understand where he was coming from today. He didn't want to get too much into how he felt about the play, if it was dirty or not. We were kind of led to believe that he didn't really think it was a dirty play, and he sort of reserved comments. He just didn't want to ruffle anybody's feathers at all. But tough break for him, and the Oilers desperately need him. Some guys have been playing good in his stead, but overall, the team desperately needs this player, and it's going to be a while yet.
Leon Draisaitl surprising you how well he's played?
Well, I watched that LA game on the weekend, and that one play where he picked up the puck in his own zone, sort of hesitated for a second, and then took off like a rocket. I went, holy smokes! Like, that is different. That's way different than anything we saw last year. He's faster, flat out faster. I don't know how he's done it, or he says he worked really hard on it in the off season. I didn't see it earlier in the year at training camp. I didn't notice it, but you watch him play NHL games right now and his speed is not an issue at all. In fact, he looks good out there from a speed standpoint. So the pace in his game is there. That's what we've been waiting to see. And the rate that he's putting up points right now, the confidence he's playing with, is spectacular. And this third overall pick is producing at a super high level at the absolute perfect time. And there's no reason for him to go back to the American Hockey League if he's going to be playing anywhere near this well.
Well, there's no chance. And the thing that he brings, that just, well, no one else can. No one else on this team is 215 pounds as a skilled forward, Ryan. And you watch him, and Taylor Hall talked about it today. Goes, man, you watch him and how he can just hold off guys that no one else can. He's just physically strong enough to do it. And, you know, that's just the big difference. If we talked about it, you know, the Oilers have been a small team for a long time. And, you know, McDavid's 6'1" and 195 pounds. And, you know, when I'm sure he'll be 205 by the time he's 22. And, you know, Hall's a 200-pound forward. And, you've got Draisaitl. And suddenly, you know, it's not Smurfville anymore up front amongst the skilled guys, which is a massive difference.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some of that was on display last night against the Kings, especially where Draisaitl is concerned. He almost likes to draw players to him in the corner, and he'll just turn his back to them and kind of lean back on them. And he uses his body incredibly well in the corners and can win battles that way. And he can lean on people, and it's just not something, like you mentioned, that the Oilers have had a lot of from a guy who can win a battle in a corner and then dance through a few guys and snipe. I mean, they've had some bigger forwards, but they've been pluggers. For Draisaitl to be able to do it in the corners the way he does and then be able to come out of the corner with such skill and ability and puck distribution and all those things just makes him a much different dimension of a player to play against than any of the other skill guys. So he's using his size. He's using it well. He likes to lean on people. He's producing at a fantastic clip. The confidence is sky high. He and Taylor Hall look great together, which is funny because it's not always the guys you think. It's tough to predict who's going to play well with who. It really is. I mean, McDavid's best fit so far has been Yakupov. We all thought that maybe Nail didn't have the speed to play with him. And here's Draisaitl playing real well alongside one of the best skaters on the planet in Taylor Hall. So it's a good fit. It's going well. He's putting up points at a real good rate. I think a 20-game window is kind of what you need for a player to sort of prove that he's got some consistency, and especially for a young player. So you want to see – I don't expect him to necessarily put up points at this rate over a 20-game window, but to consistently produce and to have an impact on games for 20 games, then that's the sample size you want to see to really make the determination that he's here and that he can do it consistently.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. The Oilers, they're cutting down the mistakes, Ryan, but when they make one, it's still a glaring one. And, you know, we've seen it, whether it's turnover, losing a battle close to the net, or bad communication in their own zone. And Todd McClellan talked about that today, that he feels his team just doesn't communicate on the ice, which is, you know, that's a big a fundamental flaw where all the guys collectively have to talk. He mentioned confidence is obviously something where maybe guys will talk more, but you know, you look at that game-winning goal against LA, and you know there was an easier pass for the goalie to make, but no one told him that pass was there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I've been on this show enough times to say that I don't like Talbot's puck handling game. I don't like it. I haven't liked it from the very first time I saw him do it. And I feel that it's something Cam needs to really, really work on in practice, and that he should be staying in his net and really not working on this skill as much during games. And I get it. When you have a puck handling netminder, it helps. He can stop the hard rims. He can set up the breakout. It's a great dimension to have, but it's costing the Oilers games, and it's costing them goals against. So I think Cam needs to maybe be a little bit more conservative in his decision-making, when to go and what to do with it when he gets there. He gives it away time and time again. And while it didn't directly lead to a bing-bang in the net, he was out of position, had to make a save, and then wasn't ready for the follow-up shot. So to me, the blame starts with Talbot. To your point about communication, I don't know if you remember this, really early on at training camp, McClellan was all over the players for not talking enough on the ice, and he actually blew the play down and started hollering at them and telling them, you know, to kind of get talking to one another. And it's something he noticed really early on in this group. But where does that come from, right? It comes from a certain personality in a player. And if you look at the guys who play the most minutes on this Oilers team, Taylor Hall he's not a super vocal guy on the ice. He's never really been that way. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, quiet player. Jordan Eberle, quiet player. Justin Schultz, quiet player. These are the guys who play the most minutes, and they don't have that as part of the way they do business. So it's kind of trickling down, and it needs to change. They do need to communicate more. McClellan wanted to beat it into him earlier on in training camp, but I guess you can only harp on something so much. But it's definitely something that needs to get better. With a young team and an inexperienced blue line, the more you can talk to each other, the less those mistakes are going to happen. And the same ones are happening over and over again, and they got to turn over every stone possible figuring out how to fix it, and talking more is a big one.
The Oilers desperately need some secondary scoring right now. Hall, Draisaitl are basically carrying them. Nugent Hopkins comes back. That'll obviously help with Eberle and Pouliot. At least that was what was kind of hinted at today by Todd McClellan. And you talked about Nail Yakupov earlier. 12 games now for him without a goal. And, you know, like a lot of goal scorers, you know what, when you don't score too much, it racks up. And he had a great chance against LA. He's had some chances, and he's not able to finish. It's just he needs to be able to produce without Connor McDavid, right? And I think he's creating chances, but he's not finishing.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And, you know, Nail is a little bit of an enigma because there are certain situations that he is comfortable in and that he plays well and produces in. But then there are other situations when he's not quite as comfortable for whatever reason. He doesn't seem to be able to really persevere and push his way through it and still succeed and still have the same level of confidence in his game. I find the confidence in his game comes out quickly when he's uncomfortable. And I think about, you know, when really his entire tenure under Dallas Eakins, Nail was an uncomfortable player. He wasn't a confident player. And he wasn't able to push through regardless of whatever feedback he was getting from his coach. Really good players will find a way to persevere and push through and succeed regardless. And then Todd Nelson takes over, and though statistically it wasn't that different, I thought Nail's game was better. So there he was more comfortable. Now in the early going under Todd McLellan, he wasn't great early, but then he got shifted onto that line with McDavid, and he was comfortable. And he got playing well. There was lots of confidence in his game. He had a great centerman to play with, and it was all aces, thumbs up. He was producing. Everything was great. Well, now McDavid's gotten hurt, and some of that quality in Yakupov's game has come out again. Nail needs to be a player that can persevere and bring a consistent level to the game every night, no matter who his line mates are, no matter who his coach is, no matter what the situation around him is. When he's comfortable, he's at his best. Good players can bring that level regardless of what's going on around him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what they do. So McLellan kind of hinted at us today when we asked about those lines, depending on health, of course.
Yeah.
But obviously the Hall line's going to stay together, Drysdale and Purcell, who had his best game of the year. He's actually been pretty good, I think, the last four or five games. Pouliot with Eberle and Nugent-Hopkins. Who would you have then as your third line with Yakupov?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my goodness, Lander and Letestu. It's been an absolute black hole of offense, right? It's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other with those two right now. You just hope that they don't make any mistakes that hurt you and hope that they can give you decent, responsible minutes. That's really the most they can hope for from those guys right now because it's just been an absolute black hole offensively. So there's not really a good answer there. I don't know what the answer is. I'd say just keep going back to Lander until he breaks out of it. And one thing we've seen from Anton Lander is he has the slow start, and then if the offense does come for him, it doesn't take a lot. If he can find something, then maybe a little bit of offense can get going. So I guess you just keep going back to him, keep playing him with some offensive players and see if he can't find his way through it. But that goes to the secondary scoring that you're talking about. I mean, to have the level of offense they've gotten from their, I mean, essentially their number three and four center. They don't have to produce a ton. They don't. They've got enough in their top six. But you have to produce something. And for them to be basically at zeros at this point in the season is a tough blow. And Todd talked about it today. He said he doesn't think it's a lack of effort. If anything, they might be trying too hard. But I think you just keep rolling Lander out until he catches the break you need him to catch. And hopefully for him, it turns the right way.
Shocker, good to have you back. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, pal. Take care. We'll talk then.